Chapter 16. Zaius came back a few days later, and his visit was a signal for a complete reorganization of the room. But I must first of all describe how I had meanwhile distinguished myself still further in the eyes of the monkeys. The day after the orangutan's first inspection, an avalanche of new tests descended upon us, the first at mealtimes. Instead of putting our food in the cages as they usually did, Zoram and Zanam, the two gorillas whose names I had eventually learned, hoisted them to the ceiling in baskets by means of a system of pulleys with which the cages were equipped. At the same time they placed four fairly big wooden cubes in each cell. Then, stepping back, they observed us. It was heart-rending to see my companions' discomfiture. They tried to jump, but none of them could reach the basket. Some climbed up the bars, but, having reached the top, it was in vain they stretched out their arms. They could not get hold of the food which was some distance away from the sides of the cages. I was ashamed at the stupidity of these men. I, needless to say, had found the solution to the problem straight away. One merely had to pile the four cubes one on top of another, then climb onto this scaffolding and unhook the basket. This is what I did, with an air of detachment which concealed my pride. It was not a stroke of genius, but I was the only one to show myself so skillful. Zoram and Zanam's visible admiration went straight to my heart. I started to eat, without concealing my contempt for the other captives, who were incapable of following my example after having witnessed the operation. Nova herself could not imitate me that day, although I repeated the procedure several times for her benefit. She did try, however. She was certainly one of the most intelligent of the lot. She tried to pile one cube on another, placed it crookedly so that it overbalanced, and was terrified by the crash it made in falling and went to take refuge in a corner. This girl, endowed with remarkable suppleness and agility, whose every gesture was graceful, proved to be as hopelessly clumsy as the others when it came to handling an object. She succeeded, however, in mastering the trick within 2 days. That morning I took pity on her, and threw her two of the best bits of fruit through the bars. This gesture earned me a caress from Zira, who had just come in. I allowed myself to be stroked by her hairy hand, much to the displeasure of Nova, whom these demonstrations enraged, and who, forthwith, started jumping up and down and whimpering. I distinguished myself in many other tests, but above all, by listening carefully, I managed to retain a few simple words of the simian language and to understand their meaning. I practiced pronouncing them whenever Zira went past my cage, and she looked more and more astounded. I had reached this stage when Zaius's new inspection took place. Once again he was escorted by his secretary, but accompanied also by another orangutan, as solemn as himself, and wearing the same decoration, and who chatted with him on an equal footing. I assumed he was a colleague who'd been called into consultation over the disturbing case that I represented. They embarked on a long discussion in front of my cage with Zira, who had meanwhile joined them. The she-monkey spoke at great length and with fervour. I knew she was trying to plead my cause, pointing out the exceptional keenness of my intelligence, which could no longer be contested. But the only result of her intervention was to provoke an incredulous smile from the two scientists. I was once again required to undergo in front of them the tests at which I had proved so adroit. The last one consisted in opening a box which was closed by 9 different systems, bolt, pin, key, hook, etc. Someone on Earth, Kinnaman, I think it was, had invented a similar device to assess the discernment of monkeys, and this problem was the most complicated one that any of them has succeeded in solving. The same, no doubt, applied here in the case of men. I had acquitted myself with honour after the first few attempts. Zira herself handed me the box, and I saw from her air of entreaty that she was fervently hoping to see me make a brilliant demonstration, as though her own reputation was involved in the test. I did my best to satisfy her, and operated the 9 mechanisms in a flash, without a single hesitation. Nor did I confine myself to that. I took out the fruit which the box contained, and gallantly offered it to the she-monkey. she accepted with a blush. Then I revealed my major achievement, and pronounced the few words I had learned, pointing out the objects to which they corresponded. This time I felt it was impossible that they could entertain further doubt as to my true condition. Alas, I did not yet know the blindness of orangutans. They once again assumed that skeptical smile which enraged me so much, paid no attention to Zira, and went on with their discussion. They had listened to me as though I was a parrot. I felt they were only prepared to attribute my talents to a sort of instinct and a keen sense of mimicry. They had probably adopted the scientific rule which one of our learned men at home summarizes as follows: in no case may we interpret an action as the outcome of the exercise of a higher psychical faculty if it can be interpreted as the outcome of one which stands lower in the psychological scale. Such was the manifest meaning of their jargon, and I began foaming with rage. No doubt I should have yielded to some angry outburst had I not intercepted a glance from Zira. It was plain to see that she did not agree with them, and felt ashamed to hear them talking like this in front of me. His colleague, having eventually gone off, doubtless after pronouncing a categorical opinion on my case, Zaius embarked on some other exercises. He did the rounds of the hall, examining each of the captives in turn and giving fresh instructions to Zira, who noted them down. His movements seemed to presage numerous changes in the occupation of the cages. It did not take me long to discern his plan, and to understand the purpose of the manifest comparisons he was making between certain characteristics of such and such a man and those of such and such a woman. I was not mistaken. The guerrillas were now carrying out the boss's orders, which Zira had transmitted to them. We were redistributed in couples. What diabolical tests were presaged by this pairing off? What peculiarities of the human race did these monkeys, with their mania for experiments, wish to study? My acquaintance with biological laboratories had suggested the answer to me. To a scientist who has chosen instinct and reflexes as his field of study, the sexual instinct presents an exceptional interest. That was it. These demons wanted to study on us, on me, who found myself attached to this herd by an extravagant whim of fate, the amorous practices of men, the methods of approach of the male and the female, the manner in which they copulate in captivity, in order to compare them perhaps with earlier observations of the same men in liberty. Doubtless they also intended to indulge in experiments of selection. As soon as I had discerned their plan, I felt more humiliated than I had ever been in my life, and swore to die rather than to lend myself to these degrading schemes. Yet my shame was substantially reduced, I must admit, although my resolution still remained firm, when I saw the woman which science had assigned as my mate. It was Nova. I felt almost inclined to forgive the old pedant his stupidity and blindness, and I made no protest when Zoram and Zanam seized me round the waist and flung me at the feet of the nymph of the torrent.